We are having a resume tips discussion with Levers.fyi founder Zahir Mohiuddin. Levers.fyi is a website that you can use to track down salaries in different companies, including FAANG companies. Zahir, before starting Levers.fyi, was a software engineer in LinkedIn and Amazon, and he has worked in Silicon Valley, and he has worked with so many recruiters so far, so he completely understands the recruitment process, and there will be so many useful tips that we'll be sharing in this video, starting from how to build an ATS-friendly resume to how to write a resume for someone who is making a career change, let's say from mechanical engineer to software engineer. This will be two-part conversation. In part one, which is this video, we'll be discussing resume tips. In part two, we'll be discussing negotiation tips. So make sure you watch till the end. The timestamp for all the questions are provided in the video description below. Zahir, thank you very much for spending time today for this conversation. We'll start with resume tips straight away. Many times people apply for a job, but they don't get an interview call. Do you have any tips on how to make an ATS-friendly resume? And this question is coming from Jay Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is to keep it simple. A lot of people go over the top with resumes in terms of the formatting and graphics and visuals and things. The thing is that if a computer or ATS system is processing your resume, you want to make sure it's in a simplistic format that the computer or machine can read, right? So you want to follow essentially the standard formats that you see online. You don't need to get too fancy in terms of the colors or graphics and things. Most recruiters won't actually be looking or indexing on prettiness of the resume. They're going to be looking at the contents of your resume, right? So it doesn't really matter how pretty your resume is most of the time, unless, obviously if you're a graphic designer or something like that, this may not apply. But generally speaking, you want to format and optimize your resume for readability and simpleness in terms of like structure and format rather than just visually. And that'll help ensure that it's ATS friendly as well.
And I guess customizing resume per job application also matters. Let's say you are applying for different companies. Some companies, let's say you are a data scientist, some companies might have requirement on TensorFlow. Some other company might have a specific requirement, PyTorch. So looking at job description and highlighting those keywords or customizing your resume can also help.
Right. Yeah, so you want to make sure you tailor your keywords for the position. And so what I also suggest people is, take a look at the position that you're applying to. Sometimes people will apply to different roles as well. So let's say you're applying to like a DevOps role, and then you're also applying to like a entry-level machine learning role or something like that. You want to make sure that depending on the role that you're applying to, that you're actually customizing the keywords and tailoring the resume to fit that role. So for example, if you're applying to like a DevOps role, you want to maybe highlight your DevOps experience more so, right, than other experience. And so bring that to the top of the resume. Make sure you're including those keywords. If you have limited space on your resume, then make sure you're optimizing to include those pieces of information rather than anything else.
Exactly. Specify only relevant information. I've seen like 6-page long resumes, and those resumes don't work. So even if you have 20 years experience, it's still possible to make a 1-page resume. Usually 1-page resume has pretty much become a standard nowadays. All right. Next question is from Karthikeya Mishra, and he's asking, what is the importance of drafting cover letters and how to make eye-catching and to-the-point resumes for both experienced people and fresher and selecting a great font and format style?
Yeah, so in terms of cover letter, most companies won't actually take into account cover letters these days. Most of the time, like the recruiter or the sourcer is doing the initial screen. And in most cases, they're not actually going to be reading the cover letter. They're just going to skim through your resume to see if you have the valid experience. So I would say, in 95% of cases, you probably don't need a cover letter. There might be the occasional company that does. And typically, I would see this as if you're applying to like a small startup, a company with less than 50 employees or something like that, where they're going to be looking beyond just the hard skills. They're much more focused on culture as well, just because it's such a small company. And so that's when a cover letter can come in quite handy. But that said, I guess I wouldn't worry about it too much for majority of companies and even the startups these days. I would be surprised or hard pressed to find many startups that actually use cover letters or will evaluate those.
Got it. And the second question was making resume eye-catching. And we already discussed some of the tips around resume, but you have any suggestion on font and format? Or I think that's, I don't think there is like any specific font that can attract a recruiter's attention,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like if you change the font from, you know, Times New Roman to Arial, like, do you seriously can think a recruiter would, it'll actually make a difference for recruiters? I don't think so. I think the main thing is the content of the resume, the actual words, what you're actually communicating. As long as it's not like a super crazy font or something, then it should be fine. You know, stick with the standard Times New Roman, Arial, Helvetica, something kind of basic.
Nisan Kumbar is asking how resume is selected, what keyword, especially for data scientists, are required to get shortlisted for interview process, how much catchy a resume should be, and what recruiters think when they see a particular resume, what rationale they have for that candidate. So I think he's asking, the data scientist question, maybe I can answer to an extent. So Nisant, for data science job position, I think you should read job position, because data science is a humongous field. There could be a requirement on NLP or some simple statistical learning, or sometimes, you know, you don't have any need of machine learning. So look at the job description. And this goes back to the first point we discussed, which is look at the job description and try to customize your resume as per that. For recruiter, if I'm looking for an NLP engineer or expertise in, let's say, BERT language model or something like that, then if I see those exact terms on the resume, you're likely to get an interview call. So if you can make a resume so that it can match with the job description, you know, as much as you can, of course, you don't want to lie, then that would definitely help. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the rationale that recruiters use to pick up the resume. So Zahir, do you have like any thoughts on how this ATS system works? Let's say you have worked with Amazon and LinkedIn. These big companies get so many job applications, right? And it's hard to review them manually, right? So then people use ATS systems. So you want to give some idea on how ATS system works? Like, how do they filter the resume? Is it just based on keyword, or it is more than that?
Actually, I think there is one misconception here. We've talked to a number of recruiters, and a lot of recruiters have actually mentioned to us, and we work with a lot of recruiters directly as part of our negotiation service and part of our resume review service. But you know, the perception from most recruiters is actually that they are still actually reviewing almost every single resume that comes in. They're reviewing it might not be every single resume, but they're reviewing a large number of resumes, right? And so especially at, you know, mid-sized to smaller size companies, they're not going to be using like these automated screeners as heavily. Now, usually when a recruiter will review a resume, they're only looking at it for a few seconds. So they're viewing it kind of very briefly. And so it's important that your resume is up to par to make sure that, you know, in the few seconds that someone's looking at it, that you actually are communicating all the information that you need to be. But that said, I think I wouldn't over-index too heavily on the ATS system. Typically, there is someone that's going to be reviewing the resume, you know, beyond just the ATS. So that would be my first piece of advice: is don't focus too heavily on trying to like keyword stuff or do things like that. That'll actually be a negative signal to recruiters, even if you make it past the ATS screen. You know, recruiters will generally not look at the like keyword stuffing very friendly. The bigger kind of point here is also you can almost, in a lot of cases, you can kind of skip the resume screen or like the initial screen by getting like a referral. So if you know someone at a company the best option is really actually to get a referral from someone at the company. And that increases your chances of even getting your resume looked at by significant margin, right? So I would suggest if you can, if it's possible, try as hard as you can to essentially get a referral to that company and leverage your network. I mean, you probably know someone that knows someone that works at the company and, you know, try to contact them and try to get that referral.
Referrals are awesome. And I interviewed someone, he was a mechanical engineer and he got a job as a data scientist without having any formal education in computer science or data science. And the reason was he was highly ranked on Kaggle. So some of these companies were looking for ML engineers, data scientists. They go to Kaggle, they find out, okay, top people who are ranking Kaggle, Stack Overflow, and they approach them. So for such people, resumes, they just skip the whole resume screening part. Govardhan K is asking, would you please talk about how a resume and cover letter should look like if one wants to switch a career? So this question is specifically for folks like, let's say you are a mechanical engineer. You have worked as a mechanical engineer for 6-7 years, and now you gain interest in coding. You want to become software engineer or data scientist. Majority of your experience is still kind of irrelevant. So how do you make a resume in that case when you're applying?
Yeah, so in this scenario, I would suggest whenever possible, try to incorporate side projects or other sort of projects that you have. Typically, even if you this, you know, even if you even if computer science or whatever the field that you're applying to, you don't have formal experience in it at a company. Ideally, you have some experience even outside of work experience, right? So you might have like projects that you did academically, or maybe you did some side project on the you know, something that you did in your nights and weekends or in your own time, right? So whenever possible, try to incorporate as many of your own projects as possible. And if you don't have your own project, then I would say, you know, actually go out and try to build something yourself and try to get that expertise outside of work experience. Companies are going to want to see passion that you have for the space. And they also want to see some sort of practical experience, right? The theory and the kind of academic world can be a lot of times very different than kind of that practical use of those skills. And so whenever possible, try and get that practical experience and highlight that on your resume. Now, I would still include your previous work experience as well, even if it's not directly related to the new field that you're applying to. And the reason is because it still can still show that you're, you know, the soft skills or the soft traits where, you know, maybe you're a top performer or maybe you did improve things, right? And those are all useful skills to highlight because companies are not evaluating you just on your technical skill set. They're going to be evaluating you on the rest of your skill set as well, right? So communication on, you know, on your drive in terms of how motivated you are as an employee, what kind of leadership experience you have, right? So maybe you led a team in your previous work experience, right? So there's a lot of other things that they're evaluating you on. And so it's still useful to include that previous work experience.
Those are very good points, actually. Soft skills, like even small things like conflict resolution. I mean, if you are a mechanical engineer, if you grew up in the hierarchy, let's say you are leading a team of 20 people, which means you have certain skills like conflict resolution, like motivating people, teamwork, and the same soft skills will be useful in your coding career as well. So you are absolutely right. But I was once talking with one mechanical engineer. He wanted to become data scientist. And out of 2-page resume, 1 page was all his mechanical experience, you know, like the kind of work he did in boilers, 3 different companies that he worked with. And I'm like, okay, mention about your mechanical experience, but have only maybe 5 lines. And, right. You know, sometimes people mention their tenure at different companies. You can just say various instead of, okay, company A from this to this year, company B this to that year. Just say various from this to for 8 years, just have just one, like various companies. And this was my experience, and restrict your mechanical experience to maybe 5 to 6 lines and then talk about your coding, like your projects, as you mentioned. Freelancing is another great idea. Doing, you know, courses, certifications. I mean, certifications kind of have become like very cheap nowadays, so they don't hold that much value, but at least it shows that right. you have put effort in learning things. You know, people attend boot camps, so talk mm-hmm. about that. All right. Abdul Wajid is asking, if we do any online paid courses, paid or free, will it be as valuable as university degree or not?
It depends on the company. I'd say overall, most companies would value university degree higher. But that said, a lot of more progressive companies these days don't actually even care about the degree. So even companies like Google, and I don't know if Facebook has announced this yet, but most of the large tech companies don't actually care if you have a degree or not. They're going to be more indexing on your practical experience and if you have the skill set. So for example, at Google, you know, even if you don't have a degree, you can go through like, you know, Kaggle or HackerRank or any of these like evaluation tools, and they'll be able to evaluate your technical skill set. And you know, to most of these companies, it doesn't really matter if you have the degree or not, as long as you can actually do the work. And you know, it makes sense. If you, even if you don't have a degree, if you can do the same or put out the same kind of quality of work as someone that has a degree, why should it matter that you have a degree or not?
Yep, that's absolutely right. And I made a separate video on this, like if college degrees matter, they're losing their value day by right. day. But when you talk about online courses, see, the problem that I see with online certificates is that it has become so easy to get those certificates yeah. nowadays. Yeah, you pay like $10, $20 on some e-learning platform, you get a certificate. So they don't hold much value. I mean, they show
right.
it's useful to show them. It gives a little value in a sense that it shows, okay, you have taken some effort to learn things, because some e-learning platform, they would give you certificate only after you pass certain assignments or some exams. Mm-hmm. So they have very little value. So I would not right. go crazy and spend like huge amount of money on those on getting certificates. Instead, showing good rank on Kaggle, Stack Overflow, participating in Discord forums, Discord servers, you know, helping people, freelancing, these are probably more effective ways. All right, right. Last question, I think, from Yash Kulkarni. Yash has done his BE in IT, currently looking for a job. It's a long question, sorry. So he's doing BE in IT, currently looking for a job, while doing self-study, like watching tutorials on Python, SQL, etc. from my channel. But when he applies for internship of jobs, a recruiter generally asks, have you done any certificates or have you done any training? So when he says that, okay, no, I have mostly watched YouTube tutorials, then he never gets a response back. So the question is, does it matter? I think this goes back to the previous question, like, does certificate matter?
Right.
And can you share some glimpse on how to handle this situation? So yeah, here is the person who is just doing his study from YouTube. And some recruiters mm-hmm. looks like they don't value that type of experience. So you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I would go back to the strongest thing form of experience that you can show is mm-hmm. if you have practical experience. And the only way to get that is by either working in the industry at a company that you can get that from, or to do your own projects and build up that practical portfolio of things, right? So regardless of whether you're a software engineer, mechanical engineer, any other profession, try and get practical experience, right? Whenever possible, whether it's through like an internship or whether it's through you just kind of doing your own thing, building out like a website or building out some system, right? That ultimately shows it's a much stronger experience and it carries much more weight than kind of anything else, because it shows that you can build something from scratch on your own. Right. And that to me is ultimately more valuable. And I think recruiters like to see that, as well as that's why they also ask for like your GitHub link, things like that, is because they want to see what kind of things that you've practically worked on.
All right. Perfect. I think that's all the questions that we had. Thanks, Zahir, for your time. We did another video with Zahir on negotiation tips, which we are going to provide a link in the video description below. So make sure you watch that. Thank you, Zahir.
Yeah, no problem.